If you can, if you've got your Bibles, can you turn please to Deuteronomy chapter 4? And we're just going to look at some of the verses in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Just so you know, it's the story of, it reflects the story of Israel coming out of Egypt, moving out into the promised land. But the book of Deuteronomy, it's not the narrative. It's not the, this is, they did this, and then they did this, and then they did this. This is really, it's Moses. It's a series of sermons that Moses gave on the plains of Moab as he was coming to the end of his life. And he was recapping everything. And he's saying, this is what we have done. And actually, if you may not know this, but, well, you probably do because it's in the Bible and you've read it. But they got to the River Jordan. And what did God say to Moses at the River Jordan? He said, this is far enough. He said, it's far enough. And then he took him up. He went to the plains of Moab. And then it said he went up some mountain and then to a place of Gilboa. And he said, Moses, actually, this is far enough for you. Joshua is going to take it in from here. It's an interesting one. Let's read. We're going to read Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 to 14. This is Moses speaking to Israel. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I'm teaching you and do them that you may live and that you may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God of your fathers is giving you. And do not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal at Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God, you're all alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear about all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that they may hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on earth, and that they may teach this to their children so. And you came near, and you stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud and gloom. And then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but you saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules, that you might do them in the land that you are going over to possess. There you go. It's an amazing passage of what God is doing amongst his people. 400 years the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. 400 years. They went in there and it all started really well. But 400 years they were held captive in Egypt. And then Moses led them out. And then they were out in the wilderness. Why were they in the wilderness for 40 years? Because they just moaned. They spent so much time moaning and complaining about food. And they didn't actually believe the promise that God had spoken over them. They didn't believe that God had called them to go into this land, so they just wandered around aimlessly for 40 years. And then that's when God led Moses to the banks of the River Jordan. And he had this, can you imagine leading the people out of Egypt? You lead all these people, and then you get to the River Jordan, and then God says to you, oh, thanks, Moses, for doing that. But that's far enough. Joshua's going to take over from now. Are you thinking, if it was me, I'm thinking, you have got to be joking. I'm not having, seriously? Seriously? all this stuff. We get there. I can see it. Could you put, Diana, can you put the next, there's a picture, yeah. Okay, so I just Googled, what did Moses see? Okay, who knows? It could be complete nonsense. It could be an AI. But let's just pretend, okay, that this Moses stood here and he said, oh, this is the promised land all in front of me. I'm going to go in there, the land flowing with milk and honey. And then God says, Joshua's going to take over from you from now. It's hard. Why did God say that to Moses? Because he didn't believe the promise and lead his people into the land. It's hard. It's really hard. He didn't believe it. And also because the people had taken their eyes off the Lord and he'd let it happen. And they started worshiping idols. And so he didn't believe the promise and he'd let the people take their eyes off God. Now, this passage here, there's no doubt it is primarily a call like to listen to God's word and to obey it. It's not enough just to know what God is calling you to do. You've got to actually go and do it, okay? I hope we'd all understand that. Hear what God is saying, but then get on and do it. Actually, be active, be proactive. You can't just know it. That is not good enough. But you can't escape from the fact that this passage here, and there are other chapters later on, particularly chapter 8, that says this. You have to remember. You have to remember what God has done. Verse 9 and 10 says this. Only take care and keep your souls diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen. And then in chapter 8, it says this. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you. Verse 11 of chapter 8 says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God. Verse 18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you that you will surely perish. So I just want to say that today, when we celebrate 20 years, there is something entirely good about remembering. Two weeks ago, I drove to Tim and Gemma's house and I didn't use my sat nav. And I wanted somebody to tell me, well done. I really wanted somebody to say, oh, Duncan, I noticed you know all the way to Tim and Gemma's house on your own. That's very good. Well done. I don't go anywhere without a sat nav now. I couldn't even go back home to my house without a sat nav. It's ludicrous. It's like I've lost the sort of like the cognitive ability to know, oh, it's like east and west and all. It just doesn't happen anymore. You cannot have a conversation with somebody over dinner and think, who is that person that was in that film? Without somebody saying, oh, it was so-and-so. It just happens. I think we're forgetting the ability to remember. Because we've got everything just in our hands straight away. It's so, you don't have to do it. And did you know that your ability to remember in a group is far greater than your ability to remember collectively on your own? That's the way it works. You're with somebody that you know, you will very quickly work out the thing you're trying to remember far more than if you were all on your own. Because you have this collective thing where you work out and think, oh, we went shopping. We had an argument, and then we saw, oh, we saw that famous, and you remember all of these things together. We didn't go shopping, and we never do that. But it's that sort of thing. You have this, shopping. We have this, yeah, I never go shopping, yeah. And clearly, do you remember when Jill said it's 50 years? She clearly gave her life to Christ before she was even conceived, because she's not that. But, so nice. Yeah, no, she was 25. Anyway. All I'm saying is, if we don't remember, we are not being biblical. We're not being biblical. And all the time we say, oh, I really want to be biblical. I really want to do this. I want to do what the Bible says. But sometimes we forget that remembering is a very biblical thing. It's a hugely biblical thing that we must train ourselves. We have to remember the breakthroughs. We have to remember the time when we were healed. We have to remember the time when God provided for us the miraculous salvation. What was the first thing that Joshua did when he took the children of Israel over the River Jordan? He did what? Who said set up stones? He set some stones. He set these stones up. He said, that's because we need to remember. And generation after generation after generation needs to remember this is what God did. Richard Gamble wrote a book called Remember. And in it, he asks a question and he says this. Is God obsessed with remembering? And this is a quote from his book. It says, remembrance is undeniably everywhere in the Bible, his word. Remembering is referenced in 50 out of the 66 books of the Bible, and there are over 1,000 scriptures that directly address the subject matter without even considering the prophetic and physical triggers that point to it. Clearly, the power and the poignancy of remembrance is very much on God's agenda. How many times does it say in the Bible, I brought you out of Egypt? I can't, well, it's 32 actually, if you really want to know. Dan, I thought you might know that, but anyway. But that's what he said, 32, that I brought you out of Egypt. How many times did it say, I will be your God and you will be my people? So many times. Jacob meets with God at Bethel. What does he do? He lays a stone. Let generation after generation after generation know what I have done. Isaiah, we could go on forever. Isaiah 17, verse 10, you've forgotten the God of your salvation and you have not remembered the rock of your refuge. I mean, it's all over the place. How, you know there are four times, four gospels in the Bible. That's weird, isn't it? What happened was that God said, right, we've written the story of Jesus. We'll put it in there, but if I'm honest, the book's looking a bit thin. Do it again, another three times, they won't notice. Just repeat it. Don't worry. Plagiarism, they won't notice. They'll just do it. But why that? Why have they done that? Why is the Gospels in their four times? Because he just wants to repeat again and again so that we remember. Remember what the Lord has done for you. What was one of the last things that Jesus said at the Last Supper? Do it in remembrance of me. Honestly, I am so keen to see what God is going to do. I forget what he has done all the time. All the time I just want, oh, God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. But what is it that God has done? Like this whole book, it's a whole book to help us remember what God has done. It's an extraordinary thing. One of my favorite verses, you may not recognize, is Deuteronomy 14, verse 25. Talks about this. It says, take an offering and have a big party. Did you know it? Take an offering, take up a tithe once every 3 years and have a massive party. I know some of you thinking, I don't believe that's really true. This is what it says. I'll read it to you. And then you shall take the tithe, whatever you want to give, and then you shall turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and go to the place that the Lord chooses. And the spend the money on whatever you desire. Can I just say, there's goat curry out there and a lot of jollof rice. I will physically fight anyone who stops me getting to it. Spend the money on whatever you desire, on oxen or sheep or wine, and this is what it says in the Bible, or on strong drink, whatever your appetite craves. And you shall eat there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. Clearly, the Bible is saying, do not get drunk. It's not saying get drunk. But what it is saying is, you have to have a party to remember everything that God has done. It feels like a spiritual discipline that we have forgotten. And I think, you know, if you're looking for breakthrough in finance, and you're thinking, God, please, breakthrough in finance, maybe we just have to remember how God has provided for us in the past. If you're really looking forward, you know, for God to breakthrough in relationships or in romance, and you think, God, please come and do this. Maybe you just have to, for a moment, remember the friends that God has given you. If you're looking for breakthrough in jobs and you're thinking, God, why aren't you providing? Maybe we just have to think, God, I remember what you've done. You've never let me down. You've always been there for me. So why are we having a celebration today? Are we doing it just because we want to have a story and, you know, a nice story and be nostalgic and hear videos from all these people? And, you know, I mean, Kaz, it was there with Dave. She was in our youth group before we came. It was amazing. She was part of our youth group when we were in a church in Wimbledon. And we just love those stories. But it's to tell of all that the Lord has done. Sometimes I just look back and I thought, I want to remember all the lost and addicted people that came through Northwest Church as it was and then Trinity Church. I don't know if you ever remember, there was a crazy time with people like Dale and Ian. And like, you never knew what was going to happen in a service. You never knew because they would be in here. But it would be an amazing moment where God just like broke through. Do you remember the time when we took an offering for a building? And I felt I'd been so stupid because we were praying for £45,000 to get a building which was over in on Buns Lane. And when we counted it all up, do you remember how much we got? It was less than £100 over £45,000. Why didn't I pray for 2 million? Why? I mean, these things, we got to remember it. The thousands of people that we have fed through the food bank, all the people that we've helped in a legal center, and then the debt center, and but we've got to remember all of those people. We have to remember. Do you remember the time, well, you might not, when there's a couple, Mark and Abby and Dave and Kaz and John and Sarah Holt and a whole big, they moved on to Graham Park. And I'm thinking, and they didn't move into, like, there are some nice blocks in Graham Park. They didn't go to, they went, they just lived, and they just lived out their faith amongst all these, it was an extraordinary moment. Do you remember the time when this school wouldn't let us meet here? So long they wouldn't let us meet here. And we said, oh, please, can we meet here? No, oh, no, terribly sorry, we don't want to do it. Caretaker doesn't work on a Sunday. So then what we decided, well, right, we're going to have a week of prayer and fasting, and we physically walked around the building, like around the grounds. For a week, we just walked around it. And we said, come on, God, you've got to let us have it. And do you know what happened? They rang back a few days later and said, ah, we've changed our mind. I mean, God has done extraordinary. We've got to remember these things. Do you remember that we took on an old scout hut over there? You might not know this. Well, we broke into it. We peeled the fence. Yeah, Matt, you did it. I'm blaming you all this time. It was you. If the police come knocking, it's your fault. We peeled the fence. Matt peeled the fence back. Get in. We prayed, laid hands on this building. We said, God, please give us this building. What you might know is that building had been derelict because of a sexual abuse scandal. Yeah. The previous occupants, it had all gone horribly wrong. So much so that when we moved in there, some woman came and said to me, I just need to come and confess my sin. And I said, oh, fine, I'm not, if you want to do that. And she said, yeah, after we were abused in this building, I became like a witch and then started putting curses in each of the corners of this property. But then she'd been saved through St. Michael's Church in Edgware. And then the vicar said to her, why don't we go and speak to Duncan? I'm thinking, okay. She just said, I'm so sorry. Sorry. She broke down. And we prayed over where every curse had been laid. But we redeemed something in there. There were breakthrough promises that we had. And then what happened? We then walked into Barrett Homes and said, oh, excuse me, could you help us? And then they did it all for us. They completely refurbished it. We have to remember some of these things. Sorry? Yeah, it was very, very lucky that they agreed to do that, because if you looked in like a corner over here, it wasn't like, oh, there's a hole in the roof. You could literally see the sky. Literally the sky. It was awful. We have to remember some of these things. And we have to take the time to look back. And we are being unbiblical if we only look forward. We must look back and to say thank you. There are so many people in this room that I thank God, whether you're part of Trinity or whether you were part of Trinity or whether you've just, every time, some of the people that are walking past taking their kids are just thinking, it seemed like only yesterday you were on the rota. But we just love you because God has done something together. We must have time to remember it. Why do we remember it? Just it deepens our love of God. When we look back and we think, oh, God has done this, it deepens our friendship and our reliance on God. It just makes us a thankful people. God, you have done something amazing in our midst. So one, the more we remember, And then also, I think the more we remember and the more we see the sort of like the interweaving of like of families and then of Daisy coming down and praying for a church point, yes. All these, they just love it. All these like interweaving of families and people growing up and stepping into faith and then, you know, people rising up in leadership. We just love it. But it leads us to thankfulness, which hopefully will lead us to fruitfulness. And then the one other thing is that I think it makes us more and more confident for the future. Pat, sorry, I spoke to Pat on Friday at the food bank. Well, there's all sorts of stuff going on with the council about the building, and they want the building back, and they want to build something on there, and they're promising to provide for us, but it's all going a bit, you know, it's all difficult dealing with the council. Anyway, but then we're thinking, oh, how's it going to work? And then Pat said, well, of course we'll be okay. God hasn't let us down so far. Oh, yeah, thanks, Pat. We're worried and we're thinking, oh, no. But when we remember what God has done, and think it hasn't been easy. There have been moments of profound difficulty and challenge, but God has done it in the past. He will continue to do it in the future. You know, I think Moses and Joshua would say that going into the promised land, it wasn't just a gift, was it? It didn't just happen that they walked over. There were battles to be fought, and there will be battles to be fought in the future. Just to finish, what can we learn from Moses? What can we learn from Moses about this step at our 20-year mark going forward? Firstly, remember what God has done. I'd encourage you to go home and write down some of the things that the Lord has done in your life and put it in an envelope, or put it on a piece of paper, put it in a bookshelf and then look at it in 10 years' time and do it again. But write down some things that the Lord has done in your life, because if you're like me, I just forget. Write it down. Be full of gratitude. Have a party. Have a party to celebrate the goodness of God. Sometimes we just need to allow God's joy to wash over us. I'd really like to see some really old people on the bouncy castle afterwards. Have a party, enjoy the food. Eat as much food as you can. Delight in it. All the people that have made this food, say to them, this is the best rice I've ever tasted. This is the best. Enjoy it. Celebrate all that God has done in our midst. The second thing I think we can learn from this is press into the promise that God has spoken over your life. Do not allow, as it did, as Moses and the Israelites did, is they wandered around aimlessly 40 years, going around in circles. If you ever look the map at what, it's an interesting map. They hadn't got a clue. They forgot to press it. What has God spoken to you about? And get on with it. Just get on with it. Just do it. You can think about it for as long as you want, but just do it. There is something about the activation of just saying, no, we're going to press into it. Well, to be fair, like Jill might have thought this, I never thought we'd be here for 20 years. I just thought we'd be here for a bit and then move on. I don't know, but I just, there is something about being here for 20 years. Think, oh, blimey, that's a long time, isn't it? It's a long time just like tucked away in Colindale. But it's the most glorious thing that I could have ever done. And hopefully it'll be, I don't know, however long it'll be, but you're thinking, but just press into the one thing that you know God has spoken to you about, and he'll go ahead of you. The Israelites got caught up in all sorts of idols. They worshipped, I mean, it's ridiculous. They worshipped a golden calf. Ask us, when you go home and write down, these are the things that God has done, write down underneath it, what is the one thing that I couldn't do without? And if it's not Jesus, you're in trouble. If there's one thing that you write on there and it's a thing or something else, you're in trouble. Let the one thing that you write, I couldn't do without, be it Jesus. And then I'm going to read the verses to finish that Jerry read. Let's just be like Paul. They went onto idols, but Paul said this, I resolved to know nothing amongst you except Christ and him crucified. Know nothing. When you come to worship, just explode in worship. Be the one who just delights in. Choose to worship all the time. Choose to be in the presence of the living God. Okay, let me finish. Can I ask you to stand, please? I wonder if the band could come back, Andy and Cheyenne and the others. Are they here? Yeah, they are. Sitting on the back row. These are the verses that Jerry and Jill read at the beginning. I want to pray them over us. I also want to pray them over Andy and Zoe up in Denton as they get going with yet another church plant. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons and daughters? My son and daughter, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises him who he receives. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for every single day of the last 20 years. I thank you for every single person that has been connected with Northwest Church as it was and Trinity Church now. I thank you for every single family that has come through. Lord, I pray now for every single family and every single person, perhaps the people that wanted to be here but couldn't, because the light of the gospel has just grown dimmer in their lives. Well, I pray, awaken them again, Lord, for your glory. Come and do something so kind and magnificent in their lives that they can't help but turn and face you. Jesus. Lord, fill our gaze again. Come, Lord. Yes, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and fill our lives again. Let us know your joy. Lord, your fruitfulness. Wave upon wave of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord.